time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on the, what are we saying now?
Powell County Sports Network.
Powell County Sports Network. Here on WSKV 104.9. Again, you can tune in to all of our broadcasts here live and streaming on Facebook at WSKVFM.com. Go to the Facebook page and you can check out the video on our athletic events that we do cover. Again, I think Ethan is doing a fantastic job with the Facebook coverage. I can't hear myself. Kind of bothered me. All right, there we go. I think that if you tune in, you'll really enjoy what you're seeing. We're getting, like, I mean, it's astronomical kinds of numbers.
Great numbers.
In the thousands of people sharing these videos when it's out there. So it's, I'm telling you, it's an awesome a deal here on WSKV, and it's great to be part of it for you and I as the sports broadcast team here on WSKV. Now, let's get into the show. First, we give you some updates on COVID. We kind of normally do. We'll go there first. And I know yesterday was a rough day in Kentucky with over 1,000 cases. Second highest day, I believe, since we
started. Yeah, I started tracking. And today, 917 cases here in Kentucky. So, not much lower. You know, high numbers. That brings the total over to 72,175 total positive cases here in Kentucky. In Powell County, there are currently 9 cases, active cases, 2 new ones today, 100 total cases so far here in the county, 91 have recovered. But still, the fact that we're kind of, even locally, on an uptick. Last week, we only had 1 case that was in the county. So we've had 8 cases in the past week going from Wednesday to Wednesday, as we do here. So when you look at that, you know, that's not necessarily a good number. Again, we're realizing we're back in school now. People are a little bit, kind of out in public a little bit more just based on schooling. And under the circumstance, again, we have to be diligent, continue to wear those masks, continue to socially distance. At the same time, you know, wash your hands, do all the things that you need to do. And let's not think that, you know, we're through this by any means, because the last thing we need is for things to get worse, especially here locally. And at that point, now you're looking at restrictions, whether it's athletics at the high school level, potentially even school, you know, shutting down in a sense, and or even if the governor, you know, obviously with kind of being in an uptick at the state level, you know, he could even impose potential restrictions as well, going back to where restaurants and things like that are being restricted or reduced numbers.
You know, I don't think that COVID is political, but it's been utilized as a political weapon. And I just don't feel like right now, politically, anybody wins by shutting down. However, it's probably the best thing we should all do right now. And you got to be careful. Again, Kentucky is not as bad as a lot of other states, but may soon be if we're not careful and vigilant about what we're doing. And again, we've talked about that every week on the show. Wear those masks. They will help. You can't beat that. Also, we got several school districts. I think I counted last week over, 17 cancellations in football only from COVID-related issues. Now, a couple of those teams found games with other opponents that were off and played that weren't affected by the COVID situation. But when you're talking about 17 different schools being affected from COVID, whether you're at your opponent or whatever, then that's a problem. And now there's already been an NFL game, I think, this week canceled because of COVID concerns from the NFL. So it's not just high school sports. It's not just in Kentucky. It's now affecting the NFL. And if you don't think that's going to happen, you must be living under a rock.
Well, let's put this into perspective. And I realize, you know, I'm just using math here to give a perspective. But with the 72,000 plus cases in Kentucky, it comes out to 601 per county. So, I mean, I realize that we've had 100 positive cases, but still, you know, across the state, that's 600 in every county. That's still a lot, no matter how you look at it. Again, those numbers are way too high. It's unfortunate where we are. And again, as far as like the sports are concerned, you know, if we don't, especially as, you know, adults and even higher up grade level students, we have to be consciously aware of what we are doing and how we are socializing and or distancing. Because if we're not setting the example, in a sense, that's going to trickle down to the kids. No different than seatbelts. You know, if I decide not to wear my seatbelt, and all of a sudden I've got young kids, and all of a sudden they're just like, well, you know, dad's not wearing a seatbelt, I'm not going to wear mine either. And they grow up thinking that way. So therefore, we almost have to condition our kids. And I think parents are doing a great job, honestly, especially at the elementary school level where I'm at. You know, the kids are coming in. It's not an issue with them. They're almost used to that and doing a great job. But at the same time, but if we don't do our jobs, other people are going to start being lax with it, like some people are, and just not take it serious and just ignore it and be like, well, it's not going to happen to me, or whatever the case might be. But, you know, again, we have to stay the course and let's try and get through this.
Totally agreed. I think that with all the things that we're seeing out there today, again, you know, I'm doing some sub-teaching, some full-time sub-teaching at the high school. Kids are doing a really good job, or at least in my classes today that I saw, and I think overall, keeping her mask on. I know at the end of every period we sanitize out all the desks, and they don't even really question it. It's just they go and do it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They get out there and they do what they're supposed to do, and they're doing this every class. It's just kind of a routine. So I think, and I ask the kids, do you enjoy in-person instruction like you did before? And I got several of the same comments from the kids. It's better than being at home. So
true.
That being said, as long as they're willing to work and do the things that they have to do to stay healthy, then I'm okay with this.
Yeah, and I think under the circumstances, they have adapted, and kids are very adaptive, and you know, and I'm saying kids, I'm talking all the way up to, you know, seniors in high school.
Yeah.
But you know, at that point though, they're very adaptive to changes, as opposed to most adults are set in their ways, and therefore it's hard to make a change. But kids, you know, they're a little bit more flexible, so therefore they can kind of bob and weave in and out. If you tell me to do this, okay, I'll accept that and move on. So whether it's the mask, whether it's the cleaning of the desk, the distancing in the hallways, things along that line, they're going to do a nice job. It's outside of that environment where all of a sudden they want to socialize and, let's say, meet in the parking lot somewhere. Now, at that point, am I really wearing my mask? Yeah, probably not, because I'm not thinking about it under those circumstances. But that's when those things need to occur.
Yeah, and you got to be careful. Again, there's been one of the groups here in the county and one of the schools that has been shut down for a couple of weeks and concerned. So, again, you got to be careful out there. You got to be safe with what we're doing and follow your protocols, do what you're supposed to do. And again, doing temperature checks every day. I think everybody is diligently doing what they need to do at work. Try to take care of the kids, and that's what all you can ask for. So, kudos what the school is trying to do, keeping everything clean, keeping it as good as they can possibly do, doing a pretty good job with that, in my opinion. And I've only seen one day. This was my first day. I was absent yesterday. We're gonna talk about that more in a minute. We'll talk about that after the break here on WSKV on PCSN Live with David Ken.
If you haven't driven the new Ram truck, you haven't driven one of the most exciting, powerful trucks in the country. During Ram Power Days going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton, the best deals of the year are in full force, with 0% financing available and rebates up to $10,000 on new Ram trucks. From one of the best riding trucks in the 1500 series to the workhorse Cummins diesel, they are all on sale and priced to move. If you're talking about a new truck and you haven't looked at the Ram, you don't know what you're overlooking. Great deals and a great place to buy at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Call them at 606-663-2856.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a brand new phone but really don't want to pay hundreds of dollars up front for it? Then Appalachian Wireless has the deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage plan. Instead of paying $400 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and a few bucks more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Great to be back with you tonight. It is, again, got home last night about, I don't know, it was right at 9 o'clock when I came back into town. We were at the girls' 11th region tournament at Raven Rock Golf Course in Jenkins, Kentucky. And it was a not a beautiful day in Jenkins. It was, we left the motel in Pikeville, and it was absolutely pouring in Pikeville, about 30 minutes away from Jenkins. And I think I drove in the rain all the way almost to the Letcher County line. It actually stopped. And then they told me, well, this is not coming that direction. So we had about 30 minutes of dry time before they started. And then the rains came, and it was kind of an all-day event. We had about 2 hours of playing time within a six-hour round. We had about 2 hours of playing time, maybe, where it was either a light rain or no rain. Do want to congratulate a few folks. First of all, the boys regional was played on Monday at Stonecrest in Prestonsburg, Estill County. Won that and won up by, I think, 13 shots. In the girls' regional, Estill County again won and won by, I think, 83 shots.
In the wow.
Girls. Their girls really played, to me, they played spectacular in the conditions. Some of their girls actually played some of their best rounds I think they've played all year. So congratulations to Estill County for that. I think they are maybe back to back regional champions right now. So again, they got a good golf program going over there, boys and girls. Coach Rick Benton is the boys coach, and congratulations to him. He's the girls and boys coach, so congratulations to him. He's got a son and daughter, both sophomores, who both compete, and again, both those will qualify to play at state tournament next week in Bowling Green. For Powell County's perspective, I was as a coach here, I'm talking, I was really proud of our kids. Went in with three seventh graders, an eighth grader, and a junior. And with all of them, one regional tournament experience under their belt. And that was Morgan Rose. She had played one tournament 2 years ago in a regional just to kind of get acclimated to playing. So I was really proud of all of our kids for finishing. I mean, it was, like I said, it was a nasty day. you know, when you had you have kids that have never really played in a tournament like that, it was I was really proud of our kids. And our actually our kids finished third in the team event. So again, having a really young team like that finishing third, I was really proud of our kids. And I want to thank all the folks who have had a hand in helping out all season long, the folks over at Beach Fork, anybody that's helped out with the girls, we want to thank them. On the really bright note, Darcy Lawson, seventh grader, has qualified for the state tournament next week at Bowling Green, so congratulations to Darcy. And she is the daughter of Kevin Lawson, who is the now Montgomery County golf coach, and her mother is Laura Tipton Cockrell, here at Apex as a physical therapist. So here's the kind of a cool deal with Darcy. Her mother was the first female to qualify for a state tournament in golf, and now Darcy is going to be, I believe, the youngest to ever qualify as an individual in golf in Powell County. So it is really cool to me as you kind of go through that. And then Morgan Rose finished, I think, top seven, not on the winning team, qualified for state. I think Morgan finished ninth. And right behind her was Catherine Frazier, finished 10th. So just a few shots from, I thought we may have a couple qualifiers at the end of the day yesterday, and just a couple shots off that. So I was, again, very pleased with how the girls performed under the conditions, and they all finished, well, most of them finished with smiles on their faces. And some of them finished with smiles just because they finished. You know what I'm saying? So, good. You know, I wish them the best, but I was really proud of our girls.
Yeah, and anytime if anybody plays golf under rain conditions and or just even a soggy course in and of itself, it doesn't matter if you're talking about the fairways or the greens. You know, at that point, it's tough to read in a sense because you don't know where those water underlying up underneath it. And obviously, torrential rains at times coming down.
Here's what was really weird. It, like I said, it wasn't raining at Jenkins when we got there. Yet, when we got to the, when we could see the eighth hole, or at least the only one I saw, had water standing on the green before we even started play on the round yesterday. There wasn't any fairway that was not standing water throughout the round. I mean, it was wet prior to. It was nasty during the round, and it got worse because we actually had a downpour about, I don't know, probably 3 o'clock, and then we didn't finish until about 5. So the last couple groups got poured on. I know as Darcy was finishing, it just had started really, really letting loose, and then several of the groups had a lot more holes to go. And fortunately, it did stop a little bit toward the end, and we were able to get them all in. And again, it's just nasty to play. You have to hit the ball differently in the mud, in the muck. You know, the only really good tee shot you get is off the tee. That's secure. And the greens were really fast, even when they were wet. And that surprised me, and it surprised the kids. They'd be putting on a wet green thinking, okay, it's going to slow it down.
Sure.
They were still fast. So, again, kudos to the golf course for keeping it in such good condition. You know, I kind of questioned whether we could have played it today and look at it. We could have been warm. It would have been sunny, blue skies. But we played it yesterday in the fog and the mist and the cold, and it was a miserable day. But again, kudos to all the kids that finished. I don't think anybody withdrew. I mean, I'm talking about everybody in the 11th region in girls golf. They all finished. They all completed the rounds, and that to me was a good thing for all kids in girls golf.
Well, and especially when you look at your team, as far as them being as young as they are, to have this much adversity, for lack of a better way of putting it, the environment, the conditions with which they played, and to be that young, now they know at least going forward, okay, I can beat a course in that regard, despite the conditions, and hopefully that pays dividends for them even going forward. Again, with such a young team, to have them, you know, in top 10, you know, a majority of your team, I mean, that's impressive in and of itself.
Like I said, I was very pleased. I knew we was going to battle it out with, I thought, Hazard. We actually beat them in a match a couple weeks ago here at home, and I think it was by 7 shots. But, you know, they got us at the region, I think, by one score sheet says 3, one says 19. So I think they got us by 19. But irregardless, we definitely had the youngest team there. And again, I was really proud of our kids. And when you talk about the first-time regional tournament for four of those young ladies, Darcy being one of those, because she now is seventh grade, is the lowest you can play, I was really proud. And last year we kind of had a rebuilding year to build forward to this, and really only a couple of those kids came out last year because they can't play as a seventh grader in high school. So I was really pleased with what we've got. And, again, I want to thank all the folks that had a hand in helping these girls throughout the course of the season. And that's just too many to speak of, or I'll get in trouble. So, but thank to all those folks and the parents and for going up and supporting them yesterday. I was really pleased. And I think we've got a bright future in the girls' golf program. So hopefully we can keep it up, maybe bring back another regional title here in a couple of years.
Yeah, again, with as young as your team is, and to have that kind of experience and to get qualified, under those circumstances, then obviously one to get qualified for the state.
Yeah.
You know, that again, to be that young and to put yourself in that position, you know, to me, obviously the only place is to go up, right? And again, to have that experience now going to the next season, in a sense, and hopefully they continue to play during the off season in that regard.
If they don't, they won't get any better.
Well, if you're
because that's when you get better.
Well, regardless of sport, if you're not playing in the off season, and we talked about this before, yes. let's go back to baseball in a sense.
Keep playing.
I throw the ball up to myself in a sense, catching pop flies and track it down. Right, I throw the ball up against the brick wall at the house, right, just to get some grounders or something along those lines, just to do something, you know, in order to kind of keep your skill set a little bit higher than when you left, in a sense, to keep it going.
And,
so,
and as bad as I hate to say that, the drill you just talked about, there's people making money on that drill today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's
a good drill for you. It costs you $7.99 for the subscription. Throw the ball off the wall. Well, that's original. So we missed out.
Apparently so.
We missed out. We're going to take another break here on PCSN Live here on the Powell County Sports Network, and we'll come back and talk about other sports and how they're doing, where they stand, and what we're going to be doing here on the broadcast side of it. Here after the break.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on the Powell County Sports Network. And again, we're going to continue talking about sports, and there is a volleyball game being played right now as we speak. It's it was an added game to the schedule with Menifee County. And they had lost a couple games with, I think, Wolf County. They lost a game with them. They lost games with Estill. And they added this one a little bit late. And I think good luck to them tonight, as they also played on last night.
They played last night, yes.
At Owsley County. So I'll let you kind of recap the volleyball.
Yeah, so last night we traveled on the road and brought that game to you as the Lady Pirates volleyball team traveled to Owsley County. They ended up winning 2-0 to take the match. However, both matches, or sets, I should say, were very competitive. The Lady Pirates won the first one 25-12. They won the second one 25-15. But in the second one, they actually found themselves down 4-0. Coach Ken Jones calls a timeout, and at that point, you know, I interviewed a couple of the players after the fact, and they said during that timeout, he basically let them know that kind of you don't get your head back in the game in a sense or whatever, then he was not afraid to pull all six of his starters. And at that point, they kind of realized, like, okay. Well, then they ended up eventually tying things up at 8 apiece, took a 9-8 lead. And from there, they were able to creep ahead a little bit, although Owsley County was very competitive. But in general terms, like, the girls didn't necessarily come with that fire, kind of. And sometimes, nothing against Owsley County by any means, because they played very competitive, and they're a very young team as well. But at the same time, I think sometimes that when you're on a roll and you're winning games,
you overlook some people.
You overlook some people. You're exactly right.
Those trap games, as we call them.
Yes. Right? Yeah, and I think that's kind of what they thought, especially after winning the first set, not necessarily real handily or anything, but they were still kind of in control of that one. You know, they kind of kept, would get the distance, and then Owsley would kind of come back, but then they'd maintain that lead and never relinquished it for the Lady Pirates. But then that second set, you're thinking, we won the first one. We got this, right? I mean, we just have to win one more set. And all of a sudden, now you're down 4-0, as you mentioned, those trap games. So I think that they weren't necessarily into the game mentally,
right,
like they probably should have been, especially in that second set. But I ended up telling them as well that I like the fact that against Jackson City, they found themselves down. We wanted to see what this team was made of, right? How they could fight back after being, you know, down several points.
Well, our thought then was they needed a game like this because they really hadn't been challenged.
Correct.
And when they got challenged, they were showing a little bit of that concern that you and I would have if we're watching the volleyball team play. It was a slight concern. We want to see how they play under pressure, because that's when your true self shows. It's easy to win in blowouts. When you get tested, it shows your character.
Correct. And I think at that point, they even kind of alluded to it, because I ended up even asking them as far as the comparison between the Jackson City and this one. And basically what they ended up saying was that with Jackson City, with it being senior night, mm-hmm. Where they were recognized, at that point it was like, oh, we can't lose.
Right.
So therefore, you know, they tried to turn it on against Owsley County. I think it was the timeout that Coach Jones called. And for them at that point, like, oh, he's serious. Like, he's about to take us out. And he made several player substitutions with some players that we hadn't seen, you know, to get any playing time. So he was not afraid to pull some players that he didn't think was playing up to their capabilities and pulled them out and set them on the bench for a little bit to give somebody else a chance.
I've been on the basketball with him for several years, and we would go through that. And I'm not saying that it's always just an idle threat, because I have seen him pull them all off. But most of the time, it would at least get their attention enough to where they would pick it up a little bit. And he's not a fan of pulling everybody at once.
Sure.
I have seen him do it. But, man, it's such it's a hard thing to do, because you go either way with your kids. They're psyche. You either can cause them to lose their confidence or start infighting, whatever the case may be. But it's a dangerous, sometimes maybe, thing to do in this day and time. You know, 20 years ago, yeah, let's pull them all. You know, put the new other guys in. I'm not sure that the psyche of these kids can handle that today.
Wired differently,
they are
right?
Wired,
yeah,
totally
definitely
different.
Wired differently. Yes. But they at least responded and recognized the fact that he was being serious, and the last thing they wanted to do was, in a sense, to go to a third set. Yep. But the fact that they still fought through that adversity, and one of the things that one of them mentioned as well, you know, sometimes when there's that one play, and then all of a sudden, whether it's a kill shot, a dig, a set, whatever it might be, at that point, now all of a sudden you get a point, and it's like, we just got a point. Let's keep this rally going. And sometimes it's just that one play, though, that ignites that spark to get you over the hump. And that's really kind of the way that it was even last night. Several of them did a really nice job in that second set as far as serving. Mm-hmm. Others, a little bit struggling as far as not so much on their serve, but as much as collectively now, we didn't necessarily respond when the ball comes back over on our side like you're used to them doing, in a sense.
We talked about it last week during the broadcast when we played Jackson City. We didn't have as many aces and kills, or aces and winners, in serve. And sometimes I wonder, we got kind of used to getting aces and winners the first few games we played. And I'm kind of thinking, they're not always expecting the ball to come back. And now that's kind of a habit you're getting into where they got it back. Well, you got it. You need to expect every time they're going to get it back. If you don't, then you kind of are taking it for granted. But again, I think, one of the Powell County is always their strength, consistent, strong serving. I think it's always a strength of Powell County, and it sets everything else up on the scoring side. So they do a really good job of that. They just got to keep it going. Now, there's only a couple weeks left in the season, right?
Correct. Yeah, actually only a couple of games left. So actually they will be at home on Tuesday against the same Owsley County team. We will have that game for you. The airtime will be 6 o'clock Tuesday, October the 6th. And then they will be home, cross our fingers, Wednesday, October the 7th, at home against Estill County. We'll see how that one potentially goes at that particular time. And believe it or not, they'll play again on Thursday at home against Buckhorn. So they'll play Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday all next week at home if things stay as they are now. And then the following week, they'll play Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday again. One of those games, they'll be away at Wolf County. We plan on having that game for you. Then they'll be home on Tuesday against Breathitt County. And then their final home game will be Thursday, October the 15th against Morgan County. So you're really looking at the final six games. Let's not count tonight. At this point, it's potentially over in a sense. But so they have six more games to go. Of those six, five are at home, one away against a Wolf County team that they're actually looking forward to playing. Not only Estill, if that happens, but they're looking forward to Wolf County and Breathitt County.
Yeah, yeah. The two teams that are probably ranked above them in the polls. Wolf County, Breathitt County, and then Estill County, just always a big rivalry. So, again, hopefully Estill County gets out of that red area and with COVID, and they're able to get back to sports. As you know, it again, golf's looked at a little bit differently, and they can still compete. And it would have been a shame to not get to compete if you're Estill County in golf, because, like I said, they got the double. You know, they won boys and girls regionals, and those kids, you know, they seem all to be very healthy. So, again, it's just one of those things where golf is kind of looked at differently. It's outside, less likely to spread. And I got an email from the KSSA today, and it was a lengthy email about the protocol of the state tournament. So, by the way, we'll be taking off Wednesday next week, practice round on Thursday, and plays Friday. You can follow all the action, by the way, on the KSSA, and there's a scoring link that you can all follow all the live action if you want to follow the players as they compete in the state tournament. So that will be available to all the folks. But Ken will be solo next week unless he finds a partner to have him out at least on Wednesday and Thursday.
So much concerned about volleyball.
It's a little bit easier.
Yeah, you just about fly solo on volleyball. Yeah. Football is a completely different animal in a sense, but got somebody in mind. Let's just hope that they can travel next Friday to Pendleton County. But yeah. I'm gonna make a quick switch now. Let's go to boys soccer here at this point. So boys soccer, they have not lost a match all season, which is very impressive for them. They have had a draw against Garrett County. I believe if I can find my paper here, yes, it was a 2-2 draw against Garrett County. But the boys 7-1-0. The draws go in the middle, so you know your losses go on the end in soccer. So they are 7-1-0 on the season. Are these boys Pirates here? They were supposed to have had a game tomorrow night against Estill County. We were hoping it was going to be a doubleheader, boys and girls, instead due to the COVID cancellation. But now the boys, interesting, they will not play again until October the 10th. And that is a home game on a Saturday. They'll be playing at noon. The girls will play at 2 o'clock, as that's a doubleheader. But now you're talking that they've not had a game since the 26th, and now will not play until the 10th. That's a long time to not be playing a game and just be restricted to practices.
Yeah.
Now, as we've seen, these boys, very capable, putting up a lot of points. They ended up beating Wolf County their last time out, 6-0. And then 2 days earlier on the 24th of this month, they beat Wolf County at Wolf County 10-0. So, you know, they're capable of putting up big points. You know, I mean, they use their speed, their quickness. They're pretty good at passing the ball, dribbling the ball, making shots on goal. A very well-rounded boys team here with Coach Doug Turner at
the
helm.
But you can't simulate playing a game without the game experience.
No,
and
you can't.
When you lose games, because again, some of these schools with COVID, some just freak cancellations, and it's really tough to schedule on a COVID shortened season. So again, there are a lot of factors in that schedule.
Yeah, you're right. And let's flip it to the girls here, coached by Lane Mink. The girls struggling a little bit this season. They won their first one against Morgan County, have dropped the last three to Richmond Model, which we had that game for you. They lost at Perry County Central, and then they lost to Bluegrass United. 7-1 was that score. So, again, they were supposed to play tomorrow night. Now, they will actually be away on the 3rd. That game will be at Pikeville. Then they'll be back home for the next three, October the 5th against Paintsville, October the 7th against Paris, and then they'll play again that doubleheader on Saturday, October the 10th against Hazard at 2 o'clock. So they still have four more games due to the girls. Again, they ended up getting a late start,
yep,
in a sense for themselves.
Yep.
Yeah, due to COVID. So hopefully they can kind of right their ship in a sense and kind of get things underneath their belt. They struggle a little bit, as we've seen, as far as their passing, somewhat their speed. You can't compare them to the boys in a sense. The boys, as far as like the team that they have compared to the girls, a little bit not as experienced in a sense, and they just need a little bit more game time, I guess, in a sense. Again, you can only practice so much, just like we were alluding to before.
And again, with a COVID shortened season, with having the issues with COVID early, and then a shortened schedule, it makes it very difficult to get your team prepared for district and regional play, which is actually coming up in a couple of weeks as well. So
yeah,
actually in the week before, I believe, volleyball. So again, good luck to all our teams. Stay healthy, get some games under your belt, get some experience, and good luck in tournament time.
Let's do this. Let's go and take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about high school football and the Powell County Pirates game coming up this Friday night. So we'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Powell County Sports Live with Dave and Ken on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with David Ken here on the Powell County Sports Network, WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, now we've got to talk football. Powell County in a good position as far as district play. Went in their first game last week against Lewis County. Did have a couple of injuries in the game. We'll talk a little bit about those in a minute. But this week got a 0-2 district or 0-2 record right. coming in with Fleming County.
Yeah, Fleming County coming in 0-2 on the season. This will be their first district game yes. of the season. Lewis County sitting at 0-3 on the season. They are 0-1 in district play. Mason County 2-0 on the season, 1-0 in district play. Pendleton County 1-2 on the season, 0-1 in district play. And the Powell County Pirates 2-1 overall, 1-0 in district play. So a big matchup here against Fleming County again, who's going to be hungry, you know, especially with a district game. So, you know, for them to be coming in at 0-2, having their first district matchup, obviously Powell County wants to continue as they just won last week on the road against Lewis County. 48-24 was the final score there. But as you mentioned, David, several key injuries really to the Pirates, and the injury bug, unfortunately, has hit them kind of hard in a sense.
Yeah, they have a couple of running backs that with, I think, at least collarbone or shoulder issues, and they'll probably be out either. I mean, those kinds of injuries usually don't come back this season, but let's hope for the best for those kids. But they're not going to be back this week or the next week, I would think, either. I talked to Coach Jones today, and he said, you know, when I mentioned the 17 COVID cancellations last year, he said, you know, those guys are actually probably a little bit better off than we are because they don't have to play. We like a couple weeks off now to get healthy. And we're talking about the injury bug. So, you know, you wonder, I don't think COVID really played a role because of the way these injuries happen. But you are seeing a few more injuries because of, I think because of lack of maybe prep time. And, you know, and it's not anybody's fault. It's just because of COVID. But I think when they decided to kind of rush the season, I think it kind of rears its head a little bit. I think there's a little bit of a, again, you can't blame the coaches. You really can't. It's the situation more than anything. But, again, not enough prep time maybe for these kids to get ready for a football season.
No, and it is unfortunate. Even Luke Hood, obviously, yeah. under those circumstances.
That's just a freak injury.
Yeah, you're exactly yeah. right. But even last week, though, when they were on the road at Lewis County, you know, a couple of those players went down, and a couple of them went down and came back in, but still were a little gimpy at that point. So, I mean, it makes you wonder, like, going into Friday against Fleming County again, who's going to come in
yeah.
hungry, have something to prove to themselves, especially with a district matchup on the road. What is Powell going to have, in a sense, in the tank and reserves, in a sense, to be able to compete? And let's hope that under the circumstances they have enough in the backfield to where they can make things happen. And let's give credit where credit is due. The offensive line
yes.
has done an outstanding job for the Pirates to open up those lanes, get the blocking out front. If they can cut down on some of their mistakes and penalties, you know, I still like the Pirates' chances. I like what they're doing. I like what Coach Jones is doing and his team. Again, they're playing sound football. They just need to cut down on the mistakes in a right. sense and kind of keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple other kids that may be a little bit shaken up. I think he showed me a list today. I think there were 6 or 7 kids on it. But you have to look at that and say, okay, there's some injuries that you got to play through. And some of these kids that are out, you know, you got Tyler Charles. He's going to be back. I would think that Norris will be back. So really, your
Ledford and Wren.
Yeah, your starters, for the most part, are back. But those key subs have come in and done an outstanding job. Shiflett and Miller have come in and done great.
Daniel
yeah,
and
Elijah Miller is the one that's a little bit injured. But Daniel has come in. He's done a great job. So I think the depth of these schools or these teams or these players. I think Coach Jones done a great job getting the depth ready. But as you said, the blocking up front creates these gaps for these kids to run through, and that's the difference maker.
And that's really the difference between yeah. what Coach Jones does and the other coaches in yeah. the past have done. He likes to pull it in tight, in a sense.
Real tight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, real tight. And at that point, though, let's get that blocking scheme working in our favor. And, again, so far it has. And really, when you go back to the Breathitt County game, even though they ended up losing Hanley 50-8, they turned the ball over four times. You're yeah. right. So, I mean, you know, you don't turn the ball over and you're moving in Breathitt County territory, it becomes a different game because you've obviously, you gave up points as well off of those turnovers.
300 yards of positive offense.
Yeah.
We almost matched Breathitt County's positive offense in that game, yet lose handily.
Right.
So, again, it was what you did in the red zone, what you did when you got close to the red zone, and the fumbles that you just can't have it. And we had a couple of them last week against Lewis County that did hurt. But again, Powell County had a big enough lead in the first half to just kind of coast to the victory last week.
Yeah, you're right. So let's look at the other matchups coming up on Friday. So it's Fleming County at Powell County, Lewis County at Pendleton County. Again, Lewis County 0-3 on the season, 0-1 in district play, Pendleton County 1-2, 0-1. So when you look at those two teams, somebody's going to get a district win, a much-needed district win for Lewis or Pendleton. And then Mason County, who was 2-0 and 1-0, was going to have a non-district opponent and be at Frankfort. That game was canceled due to the COVID situation. So they'll have an off week, will be Mason County this particular week. But again, football, a lot of teams have had to cancel across the state because of COVID. And we were kind of talking before we came back on the air, what kind of situation does this pose going forward into basketball season?
Well, I mean, if the numbers statewide keep going up, and then the number of schools that keep getting hit, there's a lingering effect of a crossover between football and then basketball season. You're getting way too many kids infected. And I say way too many. It could be only 8. You know what I'm saying? But it's shutting down programs for a while. And the appearances of it looks really bleak. But like I said, don't know any of the numbers. Like I said, I don't think a lot of kids go out and actually get tested. But when you get sick, you get tested, and you just kind of find out some things. So, again, you got to be careful out there. It's opened up. You know, players got to follow the guidelines. Coaches got to follow the guidelines. Parents need to help their players follow the guidelines and make sure we keep them healthy. Because, again, this is not only going to affect sports, but it's going to affect what happens in our local communities. It's going to affect our school. It could affect businesses. It's a long list of things other than just talking sports, as we always come on here and do.
Yeah, really, you know, when you're missing out on players, no matter the number, let's just use basketball as the example. If all of a sudden, if I have one player out, now I can't go 5-on-5 in theory. So therefore, you know, that hurts you. So therefore, when you look at other sports, if all of a sudden I don't have enough players and or I'm even shut down, now how do I bounce back after not being together in a sense to be able to compete and have those games? At that point, you're a little rusty. I'm a little concerned going back to soccer for the boys, the fact that their last game is September the 26th until October the 10th. You can only gain so much benefit from practice without real game action.
7-on-7 maybe, but that's pushing it.
Right.
Again, when you're talking kids that aren't as good as the other kids, I mean, it's an easy game.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate for them because, again, very dominant boys team.
Very good team.
Let's go on and take another break here real quick, and when we come back, we'll talk about national sports. Again, you're listening to the PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, So I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house. Or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protex Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protex Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9348.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 here on the Powell County Sports Network. This is Dave Fulton along with Ken Simon, and we are talking sports, and we're going to switch gears over to the Major League shortened playoffs that began yesterday, with the American League teams playing yesterday and the National League teams playing today, and we got some results in.
Yeah, Houston was already leading Minnesota 1-0, and actually they end up winning today 3-1, so Houston will advance. Again, it's 2 out of 3 at this point. Chicago White Sox were leading the Oakland Athletics. However, Oakland ends up getting a win to make it 1-1 in that series. Yeah. Tampa Bay currently is leading the Toronto Blue Jays. They lead not only in the series 1-0, but they're leading in the game 8-2. And then the Yankees lead 1-0 over the Cleveland Indians. They'll be playing a little bit later tonight. And then earlier today in the National League, we had the Miami Marlins beating the Chicago Cubs 5-1 to take a 1-0 lead. Currently, the St. Louis Cardinals are over top of the San Diego Padres, 6-3 as that scores. We're going into the bottom of the fourth. And then, unfortunately, for Reds fans, a 13-inning game. The Atlanta Braves win 1-0 in 13 innings to take a 1-0 series lead over the Cincinnati Reds.
I'll tell you what, I had some concerns with the Reds. And I'll talk Reds a little bit. I had some concerns when we talk about the Reds going into this one. The pitcher for the Braves, the starting pitcher, 7-0, was a lefty, had a 2.25 ERA against, I think, who should be the Cy Young Award winner this year, Trevor Bauer, who was phenomenal today. 12 strikeouts, 7 1/3 innings. I think maybe you could have pushed him a bit longer, but in the result, may not have mattered that much. But again, really good starting pitcher for both teams. My concern was, how do the Reds put a lineup on the field? Do they keep going with the guys that face the lefties? Well, the lineup to me, when they face lefties, isn't very good. I think if I'm David Bell, I probably start Luis Castillo today, move Trevor Bauer back to tomorrow. This is easily said in hindsight, because you hate to burn your ace today with a weaker lineup. And again, I just think this right-handed hitting lineup is a weaker lineup right now. You got Shogo Akiyama, who's been playing really well lately. He's on the bench. You got Freddie Galvis, who's hitting the ball better than he had been earlier. He's on the bench. You got, you know, your left-handed, typically left-hand-hitted lineup is a little bit better offensively, in my opinion. He's supposed to know these guys better than I do. So, again, it's dominant pitching today for both squads. I think 37 strikeouts,
Yeah.
Set a record for most strikeouts in a game. Longest game in playoff history. And it was also the Reds had gotten more base runners and hits without scoring a run in a playoff game. So a lot of big numbers there for you folks. But I think the Reds struck out 21 times today in a 13-inning game. That's over a strikeout per inning. Again, a lot of the guys that are playing for the Reds, if you look at the lineups, a lot of inexperienced players in that lineup. Look at the Braves. You're not looking at an inexperienced lineup. Those guys are all professional hitters. And still had, I think, 16 or so strikeouts for the Braves. So, again, a good pitching performance both teams. You hate losing the game the way they did. Again, it was just a walk-off hit. And in my opinion, it was a bad pitch thrown by Garrett, just a hanging slider to Freddie Freeman, who's probably going to be your NL MVP. Which my thing is, why'd you pitch to him in the first place? You know,
with runners on the corners.
I know it's lefty on lefty. I'd rather load the bases up with him and take a chance getting a ground ball to somebody, maybe getting a double play. But I've questioned Bell for most of the season anyway. So have a lot of other people. But that doesn't dampen the fact that this team is one of the hottest teams in baseball coming in. They've got Luis Castillo going tomorrow. They got Sonny Gray if needed on Thursday, I guess.
Right.
And
Friday. Today's Wednesday.
That is correct. So yeah. Thursday, Friday, you got Castillo and then Gray. Pretty formidable duo, but the Braves tomorrow's got a young rookie going who has been phenomenal for them. So we'll see how it all pans out. Again, the Reds got to win back-to-back in Atlanta. Again, there's no switching on who the home team is.
Well, and as you know, in a three-game series, game one is so important.
Huge.
So important.
Huge.
I mean, as far as with volleyball, kind of going back to that in a sense, they're only playing, the best two out of three as opposed to three out of five.
Yep.
So at that point, that first game is such a key, and it is in any series under those circumstances, because obviously you want to get the momentum on your side. Now you're feeling better about yourself with game one.
Yep.
But despite the fact that it went 13 innings and the Reds ended up losing, again, an outstanding performance in so many different ways, they just have to figure out how to get runners across the plate, right? You can't leave, you can't have nine hits and leave 13 on base and not score a run like that.
Well,
they're better than that in that regard, right?
A couple of times bases loaded, or at least second and third with less than two outs, you got to find a way to put the ball in the air, put the ground ball the other side, something to try to get those runs in, and that just didn't happen today.
Right, and again, I am not a Reds fan, but at the same time, I mean, I have a lot of Reds fans in a sense, and I mean, I want the best for your all's team. I'd love nothing more than to see us play against each other to get to the World Series. I'm a Cardinals fan, and that would be fine with me, and or even to represent the National League Central Division.
But if you flip this real quick, if the Reds had got the 5 seed where the Cardinals are, and the Cardinals are in the 7 seed, they got a tough Atlanta team to play. And I think one of the hottest teams in baseball is San Diego. Yet San Diego, two of their best starters are not on the playoff roster.
Right.
So this game, this baseball this season has been about pitching. And in my opinion, the Cardinals will have the upper hand against San Diego just due to the fact that they've probably lost their two best starting pitchers in San Diego, which is why you see 6 runs on the board in game one.
Yeah, actually, the Cardinals had 4 runs, and then San Diego scored 1 in the bottom of the first, so it was already 4-1 in the first inning, realizing that it's not necessarily a pitcher's duel in that game, but still, obviously, it was with the Braves and the Reds under those circumstances. Again,
a baseball purist would absolutely love that Reds game and Braves game. Just somebody has to lose that one. It's just
– right.
You hate to say that, but, again, somebody had to lose, and every loss is – going to have a rough night. Menifee County bus just going by, so the game is over.
Yeah, already over.
Or games are over at the Powell County High School. So hope the Powell County Lady Pirates have won. If maybe they'll get a call here in the next 30 seconds or so.
Maybe we will. I'm going to switch gears real quick. So tonight, game one, NBA, the Miami Heat versus the Los Angeles Lakers. On Miami, Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero, to UK players, and on the Lakers, Anthony Davis and Rajon Rondo. So, if you're a Wildcat fan, basketball fan, regardless, there are going to be some Wildcats that are either going to win their first with Adebayo and Hero, and or Davis will get his first. Rajon Rondo won when he was with the Celtics. He's already won a title, but still ought to be an excellent matchup with those two teams.
I'll take the Lakers.
Well, most people are, although most people are, betting on the Heat. But with everything that happened earlier in the year with Kobe Bryant and everything, it's almost destined for the Lakers to win. I'm not a Lakers fan, but nonetheless, I'd be happy for Davis and Rondo.
I used to be a big-time Lakers fan, but as basketball has changed over the years, it seems like it's not as fun to watch. But I guess I would still be a Lakers fan because I don't want to be fair weather. So I'll just jump on the bandwagon.
The only time it's worth watching, other than a shortened season, playoffs, which has been great, is the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're exactly, because at that point it really matters. Now I'm going to switch gears again. Coming up this weekend, the UK Wildcats football team host Ole Miss. They ended up losing, UK did, to Auburn. Basically, we're in that game. Turnovers, you know, costly turnovers under those circumstances, and a missed call, you know, controversial call at that. But still, UK will play on Saturday hosting Ole Miss. Houston Baptist at EKU, go Colonels. And Western Kentucky at Middle Tennessee. And then
go Hilltoppers, right?
It's Kentucky,
well,
right?
Yeah, both Kentucky. No, Middle Tennessee's not.
Yeah, oh,
go Hilltoppers.
Hilltoppers, right. Yeah. At that point, yeah. Well, EK used to play Middle Tennessee, and I don't care about them. Once a colonel, always a colonel. But anyway, then I'm going to switch again. NFL, Jacksonville at Cincinnati. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. They play at Detroit. Cincinnati, again, 0-2 on the season. Under the circumstances, they playing at home against Jacksonville. Again, they've had their opportunities, that Cincinnati team
and
has.
Joe Burrow's nice.
Yeah, he a good.
And
yeah.
He doesn't like to lose, but they have just fell short late in those games.
Yeah, and again, I think just giving a little bit of time. Again, we're still early in the season, you know, but this is going to be a key matchup for them to get a win underneath their belt. Yeah, and again, I'm not a Bengals fan, but
no, I'm a Dolphins fan, but I think they finally got a win last week. I watched part of that game, so go Fish.
You're exactly right. Well, I guess at this point that'll wrap things up.
You
got anything else to say?
No, just you know, tune in next week. Maybe I'll phone in from the distance or something next week. And on my way to Bowling Green again. Good luck to.
I'll be on the radio. Volleyball.
Oh, next Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we weren't going to be on anyway. So
yeah, we won't be on.
Again, good luck to Darcy. She plays next week at the regional tournament. Again, congratulations to her. Again, first year tournament player. Qualifying for state tournament, I'm really proud of her, and if you're a Powell County fan, you should be too. So these kids put a lot of hard work and effort in this. So wish them all the best. All of our teams, volleyball, soccer, football this week, and tune in Friday night to Powell County football. Regardless of who you got out there, we got to support our Powell County football Pirates. And again, next week as we move on in the fall season, as we say good night here from PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
Good song.